And it's the Jeremy Lawrence Show, hour number two here on 590 WKZO. You know, it is, it's actually, there's the sun's peeking out from what I'm told anyway. I haven't been outside for hours. I don't know, but they're telling me.
You need to get a window over by your office.
I know.
Or
I know
a sunroof or something.
Well, you know what? My boss is at the end of the building. Chat with him and see if he's willing to put in a window there. I don't know. 74 degrees. Glad that you're a part of the program. And she's part of the program off and on anyway. Just because she listens, she calls in, and you know she's just around a lot. But Margaret O'Brien, she's state representative. She is running for state senate, 20th district. And I wanted to talk to her a little bit about the race and that sort of thing. And if you don't know who she is, you don't know what she's about, we're going to have a little conversation with her right now. And you can find out a little bit more about her. So, Margaret, welcome back to the program. And glad you're here in studio today.
Well, thank you so much. And I can tell you firsthand, the weather is beautiful outside.
Okay. See, because you get to go outside.
I get to knock door to door and get to talk to all the people in the county. So it's wonderful. I get to enjoy the beautiful summer weather.
Oh, it's amazing weather, and we're enjoying that. But one thing that, you know, and people have heard about you, you've been since 2010. You've been in the state legislature and that kind of thing. You're trying to get the bump up to the Senate at this particular point. What drives you to want to be a part of the process in Lansing?
Well, you know, when you look at public service, it's supposed to be about outreaching to the people in our community and listening to people, regardless of what their views are on the issues. And that's something that I did for 7 years on the Portage City Council. It's what I've done for the last 3.5 years. And probably what makes me most different from anyone else running is I have a track record of working across the aisle and ensuring that we get input from all people. You know, we shouldn't just be working with people who think like us. We need to make sure we outreach to different stakeholders, including the ones who maybe don't think like I do. And it's all about trying to keep good policy at the forefront and including all stakeholders.
Now, one thing that occurred to me, you talk about working on, you know, a wide variety of things when you're in Lansing. What are the things that you brought up? And this was, I believe it was a couple of months ago we talked about this, was back when the State House and the State Senate were working on minimum wage bills, and you brought that to the fore in the House. Talk a little bit about your contribution to that debate.
When I looked at what was being talked about, they really weren't talking about the issues that are important to those who are on minimum wage. My parents earned minimum wage, and growing up, I was really poor. And what I was taught is that if you can get more education, including vocational education, you have to move yourself up the ladder as far as what skills or attributes you bring to the table. If you are stuck in a low-skilled job in which anyone can do the job, you're never going to be able to make an income that would support a family. Mm-hmm. So if we really want to help people who are struggling to support their family, we need to get them more education and vocational opportunities. And I felt that was missing in the conversation. It seems like it was more about what do Republicans want? What do Democrats want? What does this group want or that group want? And I wanted to refocus it on the people who are struggling.
Okay. And obviously, a bill got passed, and recently we found out the minimum wage efforts by that group had fallen just shy of enough signatures to be able to do that. But still, I guess, you know, and this is just my angle on it, it kind of felt like that the legislature was responding to what the people wanted, which, quite frankly, is what I think was meant all along.
The legislature did respond. The end bill wasn't something that I could support. I had offered two changes. I said if you could take one of the two, I would be able to vote for the bill, and I thought it would have been a balanced bill. But, you know, it is good when we're able to see what citizens are concerned about. And a petition process is a very direct way where you can see where large groups of people from around the state have concerns.
Now, Margaret, and we're talking with Margaret O'Brien. She's state representative running for state senate, 20th district. One of the things that continues to get brought up over and over and over again when you say, all right, what are the top five issues in the state of Michigan? People will generally say roads, 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 and roads. Now, you were part of some efforts on that, but for whatever reason, we just came up short in the legislature this year.
We did. The House passed a $500 million package that would have been an important step towards reaching the ultimate $1.2 billion additional that we need. We did it through several ways. One was finding more efficiencies. You know, when you talk about building a road, it shouldn't be, here's my money, how many miles can I get built? It's, what is the quality that you need for a road? And when you find efficiencies, quality has to be part of the conversation. If a road can last longer, if it's built properly, then we should be looking at that versus just trying to do cheap fixes. We also looked at outdated loopholes that allowed some people not to have to pay what you and I have to pay. So we voted to eliminate those loopholes. And then finally, we looked at where we need to look long term, and we moved the sales tax from the per gallon level to the wholesale level, which was going to be no change what we would see at the pump today. Unfortunately, the Senate could not get the votes to pass it. In fact, the Senate put up a number of proposals, and none of the proposals could get the minimum votes needed to pass it. And it's been very disappointing. From where I sit, it's very confusing when you have both Democrats and Republicans in the Senate who are saying, we don't have any proposal we support. Now, we were very fortunate that here locally, our Senator Tanya Shoemaker, she voted for a number of the bills. And unfortunately, she was among a minority of the people who wanted solutions.
Sure. You feel like, because obviously the session's not over, we're just kind of in a break at this particular point. Do you feel like at the very least the House package has a chance in the Senate at some point before we get through this session?
It does have a chance. What it was important to look at, a lot of people say, why aren't you passing something right now? Well, if we didn't pass it in June, in reality, we wouldn't be able to get that money into roads this construction cycle. So we felt it was wise to take a step back, let the Senate work with the issues that they have. The House is continuing to look at what is step two that we need to do. And let's come back in the fall after hearing from people. And it's been great because there are people who are giving a lot of input, different ideas, or saying, I like this idea over another idea. So it's been good to get all this feedback from the community.
Now, you know, we talk about roads. That's obviously been a huge, huge thing. And, you know, I saw it firsthand traveling around the state, as I've done this summer, and a great place to vacation, I might add, too. But there are other issues in the state of Michigan. As one of our leaders, what do you feel like are some of the ones that you hear the most about, other than roads?
Right now, the number one phone call and letters that I'm getting, both to my home phone number and to my office in Lansing, is confusion over Proposal 1. Mm-hmm. So that is top on everyone's mind, and I'm explaining it at the doors. I was explaining it today. And then other issues. Job creation is very close to roads. Michigan exported a lot of our young people and our families, and we still aren't at a population where we had been prior to the recession. So we still have a lot more that we have to do for job creation. Education continues to be a concern. We have teachers, parents, stakeholder groups who are very concerned about how politicized education has become. So those are, you know, when we look at roads, a close second is job creation. Education is right in there in the top three.
Okay. And you brought up Proposal 1. I'm glad you did that, because what I have heard on this program, we've talked about it several times, and what you generally get is, what? Huh? So I'm glad you've got the opportunity to talk about it, because I guess you've got some sort of meeting coming up about that, too.
Yes, tomorrow night, Wednesday, July 30th at 6 p.m. at the Greater Kalamazoo Association of Realtors, which is at 5830 Venture Park Drive in Oshtemo. I'm holding a forum on personal property tax, and I'm partnering with, we have a local business owner, David Roy, who's going to be there, Southwest Michigan First, and the Grand Rapids Chamber. What many people don't realize is that when a business purchases a piece of machinery, furniture, a phone system, a computer system, they pay sales tax like you and I, but then every year they get to pay a personal property tax for the privilege of just owning it. It would be like you and I paying a tax every year for our refrigerator, even if it's 30 years old. And so in Michigan, you can never value a piece of equipment at zero. So we have an actual business owner here in our community who's owned a piece of equipment for 45 years. His grandpa bought it. He still pays a tax on it. So what happens is, if you're thinking, you know, this piece of equipment's outdated, I want to replace it, and you start looking at a new piece of equipment, that newer equipment's going to cost much more money.
Mm-hmm.
And so not only are you investing in a more expensive piece of equipment, you also will get to pay higher taxes based on that value. So then business owners start saying, well, if I'm going to buy the equipment, I need it to replace staff. And that's unfair. Mm-hmm. No business owner should have to be choosing between updated equipment and their employees, and no employee should feel like they're being replaced by a piece of equipment. So this proposal really targets two groups in the business world. One is manufacturing, who pays a disproportionate share of the personal property taxes because their equipment's so expensive. And then the second group is those with a value of equipment less than $80,000, because it actually costs the local unit of government more money to come up with their tax bill than what they collect.
Mm-hmm.
And through this proposal, we are going to eliminate personal property taxes for both groups, and then it would be replaced with a use tax dedication and some general fund monies. And unfortunately, the way it's written on the ballot is not very easy to understand. It uses very technical language per the Constitution and state law,
mm-hmm.
but it makes it hard for people to understand.
Now, I think one thing that, because people know that personal property tax, at least some people that follow this realize, all right, a lot of that money gets put towards police and fire. That's what we're hearing about. Now, those are going to be funded anyway, but I guess the thing that's caused me confusion along with many other people is, all right, how does that work? Where does that funding come from if we get rid of that?
Well, we have a portion of the use tax that would be dedicated towards replacing the revenues. That is one area of the funds. The second area of the funds comes from the general fund. And the only downside that I see to this proposal is if in the future, a future legislature or governor decides that they don't want to commit these funds mm-hmm. to replace the revenue, that would be the greatest risk. You know, while I've been in office, the public has known if we make a promise, we're going to keep it. And when we saw the teacher retirement fund about to go bankrupt, we made a commitment to put in the money necessary to keep it afloat. And we've done that for four budget cycles. But a future legislature is not bound by the decisions of a past legislature. So that's where my only concern would come in, mm-hmm. is if some future legislative group did not want to be responsible and did not want to allocate the monies to where it should go.
And we're talking with State Representative Margaret O'Brien. She is a candidate for the State Senate 20th District. We've also been talking a little bit about Proposition 1. Now, this is the only one that is going to be on the primary ballot, and that's coming up next week, I believe, right?
It's Tuesday, August 5th, and if you know that you're going to be out of town, my daughter's going to be out of town on Tuesday, it's very easy. Stop by your city or township clerk. You can pick up your absentee ballot. She did it. It's very easy. You can take the ballot home and fill it out and then drop it back off. Or if you already know how you're going to vote, you can fill it out right there in the lobby. So make sure you get out and vote.
All right. Margaret O'Brien's here with us. We're going to talk a little bit further about her run for the Senate, why she's doing it, that kind of thing. And we will continue the conversation with you. It is the Jeremy Lawrence Show. It's 590 WKZO. Degrees in Kalamazoo. This portion of the Jeremy Lawrence Show brought to you by Weatherstone Village. Check out their local award-winning 55 and over community at their open house each and every Saturday from 10 until 2. Jeremy Lawrence here with you, sitting here with Margaret O'Brien, state representative and candidate for the state Senate 20th district. Margaret, one thing that I think, you know, you brought it up before is, I think in order to get anything done, really, whether it's on a national level, state level, local level, you need that bipartisan work. Talk a little bit about that, because I know you've got some experience there.
Well, you know, to get anything done, especially on a complicated issue, it is a lot harder if you work in a bipartisan manner. But it's the best way to get good results for your community. And I have a strong record of reaching across the aisle in a meaningful way. Often we hear about bipartisan issues in which only one party was sponsoring,
mm-hmm.
and they just let the other party vote for it. I believe true bipartisanship means going to your colleagues on both sides of the aisle before you ever introduce the legislation, seeking their input, working with them closely. And if maybe you realize while you're working on this process that there's somebody that you didn't know that has an interest, bringing them in. I was working on a pretty technical, mundane issue that isn't important to the most people, but it is to a small group of people. And one of my freshman colleagues came up to me and said, you know, I ran on this issue. I said, really? And it was too late for her to co-sponsor. So I included her every step of the way and invited her to the bill signing. And some people are like, why are you bringing in a freshman Democrat to a bill signing? And I said, because as soon as she told me she cared about this issue, she worked with me every step of the way, and she provided invaluable support. And I wanted to recognize her hard work in helping on this issue.
Now, in the time that we have left, we just have right around a minute, minute and a half. I want people to be able to learn a little bit more about you and that kind of thing. It's so hard to do it here, even though given the time that we have, to get everything in. So you've got a website. You've got ways for people to be able to get in touch with you. How can they do that?
Well, it's important for people to remember I'm a local girl. My family's been here for generations. It's my hope that future generations will stay here. I'm always easy to find. Well, I'm in the phone book, although that's probably white pages now. There's not really a book, but they can always visit me online at margaretobryan.com. Mm-hmm. And then I've been giving people my home phone number. So if you want to talk to me, you can talk to me. And that's 324-9626. And it's just important for people to be able to feel comfortable talking to the people who are running for office, regardless of what party they're running on.
Okay, Margaret O'Brien, she is a state representative running for State Senate 20th District, and I'd say you're welcome back on the show anytime, but you know what? You know that.
Yes, I will make sure I always call in, but I'm sorry you didn't get the cookies I dropped off yesterday, so I'll have to make you some. Yeah,
I had two, but then Jim McKinney took them away, and they disappeared. I'm not sure what happened.
That's the danger of giving them to the morning show. They don't make it to the afternoon show.
All right. Margaret O'Brien, thanks for joining us on the show. You know what? We're going to be talking about iPhone. You can get a 6 now, but there's a little problem. We'll talk about it. It's the Jeremy Lawrence Show. This is 590 WKZO. It's 438. Glad you're along for the ride today. You know, I am a sucker for technology. I am.
I'm right along with you.
I'm the kind of guy that's like, yeah, all right, apps, I could do that. Yeah, you know. It amazes me. And, you know, I've looked around here. I haven't seen, compared to where I've lived in the past, I haven't seen quite as many iPhones. I don't know if that's just because I'm not looking or what. Probably. There's an awful lot of people have them. And, you know, you look around, you can see the 4S, the 5, the 5C, the 5S, the whatever, you know. And you know, you've read all the stuff. Apple's working on the 6. And you've heard about, yeah, it's going to be, there's going to be a slightly bigger screen, and then there's going to be the Mondo big screen. They're coming out with a big screen one at some point. At least that's the rumor we're hearing. And you know, they usually don't tell you, yes, we definitely are, until about a week before they say, all right, we're releasing it. It's an Apple thing. So to get an iPhone 6, you know, if you want to get an iPhone on the first day or somewhere close, you're going to have to stand in line. Or you're going to have to do something wild and crazy, like stay up until like 2 a.m. trying to get that online pre-order window to be able to get in there and get yourself. You know, if you're going to do the 6, you're going to have to go through this. You're going to have to stand in line at a store somewhere and hope like heck when they open up that they've got enough to get back to where you are. People know that. They've been through this. Well, apparently, there is a way, even though it has not been officially announced, there is a way for you to be able to get an iPhone 6. And before you get to the point of, do tell, Jeremy, do tell. I'm on the edge of my seat here. You're going to have some money.
Your life savings.
Well, I don't know that it's life savings. It just depends on what level you're at. If you're at the Bill Gates, Donald Trump level, this is going to be just, oh, yeah, it's pocket change. I got that. No big deal. If you're like the rest of us, yeah, this might be a little bit of a problem. There is a company known as Brick, B-R-I-K-K. They are a luxury retailer, and they have a line of gold, platinum, and diamond-encrusted versions of the iPhone 6 up for pre-order on their website. Yes, indeed. If you want to get the iPhone 6 and you want to avoid all this stuff, you'll have to get a gold, platinum, and diamond-encrusted version. Now, here's the thing. They've got several versions, but you can get one at the cheapest price that they have this available at of $4,495.
Wow.
Now, mind you, that's for probably the version that's not quite as nice as top of the line. And if you are one of those people that you got to have top of the line, you got to have the absolute best, you could get the iPhone 6. And they've got a rendering of this. This is beautiful. This is absolutely beautiful. 24-karat gold iPhone 6 with a diamond-encrusted logo. That's the logo on the back where they got a little apple and the whole bit. Diamonds all over the thing. It will run you $8,795 to get this piece of technology. Now, here's what they've got for you. Their versions are built on a 4.7-inch display, 128 gigs of onboard storage is what they're saying. 128 gigs. Imagine that. I've got a large music collection. That would fit on there.
Pretty easily.
Yeah. But now I don't think that I'm going to jump for this iPhone 6 in gold.
You'd have to be so careful about using it if you ever even use it.
You know, and there's the thing. I've carried an iPhone for years. I'm on my second one right now. Probably when it's time to replace it, I'll be on my third one. I love the iPhone that much. I'm into it, and I've invested enough here in apps and whatnot that, no, I'm in. I'm in for the long haul. That's my thing. But even still, think about this. You're getting this in gold. You're getting diamonds on it and the whole bit. What do you generally have to do when you buy an iPhone? Yep, that's right. You got to go out and get yourself a case. Whether you get the OtterBox or you get the El Cheapo from Big Lots, you're going to have to get yourself a case. This other week, we bought my wife an iPhone recently, and we went to Big Lots, and we got like a $5 case. But you got to get a case for the thing. So if you're getting the gold phone, I mean, we're talking 24-karat gold luxury with diamonds encrusted on the back. I mean, you could just hear the description right now. And we slapped an OtterBox on it. Somehow that doesn't work quite well. You've got, and that's been my problem with the iPhone the whole time. I love the phone, but then you got to slap a big old ugly case on this thing, because if you don't and you drop the thing, it's going to break, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly will.
I don't know how many people, and we actually had somebody that she used to work here, who actually shut her iPhone in her car door.
Yes.
You remember this?
I do remember this.
I told her she needed to keep it for posterity. I said, you've got to hold on to that. And she showed me after the fact, it was still working.
Yeah, I don't know how.
She chopped off the entire lower half of the phone. It still worked. I have no idea how that happened.
Until the point the battery died because you couldn't charge it.
Yeah, at that point, I mean, there was no way to charge it because all the stuff on the bottom was cut off. But you know, again, I've seen so many people with a shattered screen or shattered this, that, and the other. Look on eBay, and you'll see where people have done a repair on it, and they'll put all sorts of goofy things on it because they can. Because guess what? Somebody dropped it and shattered the screen. And people have come up with, yeah, we'll do a different color screen on there. Why? Because you shattered the screen. It's one of those things that you have to deal with. So I don't know how many of these they're going to sell in 24-karat gold with the diamonds. Now, you can picture Trump with his bad hairstyle, with a phone up to his ear, 24-karat gold. That's not a stretch. You could picture athletes doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, picture any number of the people. I mean, could you picture Matt Stafford with a phone right next to him that costs $8,000? Yeah. That's not a stretch. He's got the Megatron. Yeah. That's not a stretch.
LeBron James.
Absolutely. With the contract he's gotten in Cleveland, he can afford it. And quite frankly, with all the money he made in Miami, he can afford it without even thinking about it. The man probably makes that much money in a couple of seconds. But little old Jeremy over here? No, that's not going to happen. I don't think so. At least not a 24-karat version. I'm not even sure I'm going for an iPhone 6 next. I don't know. I don't know exactly when I'm going to upgrade. I tend to hold onto things for far too long. I carried around the iPhone 3G for the longest time. And, you know, I still got the thing. My kid uses it now just to play games and whatnot. It still works. Go figure. But I held that thing forever. So, yeah, I might be holding on to my little old phone here for a little while. But upgrade to a 24-karat gold phone? All right, it's tempting if I had the money, but no.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No. We're going to be talking about some of these ballot proposals. I saw an interesting proposal in the Detroit News. We'll talk about it as we continue ahead on the program. Keep it here. And it is 74 degrees. There's apparently some sunshine out there, from what I'm told, anyway. They're still not letting me look out the window for whatever reason. I don't know why.
And we can't see out a window from here at all.
No, all I can see is you and Dark Studios next to me. So.
Well, Dark Studios and you, so yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
That's about it.
Yeah, but you're probably a little closer to a window than I can see blinds from here.
Yeah, I can see the blinds, but they're not open, so I can't see out
they're
there.
They're never open, so sadly, we can only imagine. Yes, from what I've heard, there's sunshine. Hopefully, you're enjoying the day. You know what? Another 10 minutes, you really get to enjoy the day because you get to 5 o'clock. I want to remind you, keep it right here. Kalamazoo's Afternoon News coming up at 5 o'clock. We're going to fill you in on what's going on and that kind of thing. If you feel like, you know what? I've missed out. I don't know what's going on news-wise. We got you covered. We'll take care of it. You just keep it here, tuned in, and we'll cover it all. Beginning to end, top to bottom, you know what? We got it covered. One thing I wanted to talk a little bit with you about, you know, with all these ballot proposals that have gone through, the idea of, all right, well, let's raise the minimum wage to $10.10. And we've also had the whole part-time legislature. That was one they talked about for a while and decided, oh, not this cycle. Okay. We've had some different things for a wolf hunt, two of them against, one for, that have gone through trying to get signatures and that kind of thing. And in this particular story, and this was something that was in the opinion section of the Detroit News, they're talking about some of these, and they talked about the minimum wage ballot proposal, the idea that giving people the opportunity to vote on this, that really don't have a skin in the game, so to speak, that, you know, they don't have a business, they're not necessarily paying for it. And they were saying, well, you know, this something like this, they're always couched in terms of, well, let's help the average worker, or let's stand up for workers' rights, or let's do this and that, instead of really digging into it so that, you know, the issue is personal to people, so that they understand what's at stake, and they can go, yeah, I'm on board with that. So some suggestions were made in this piece. After going through, and they talked a little bit about, apparently 2012, there was a proposal to try and get the state stopped from building another bridge in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was backed by the Ambassador Bridge owner. Imagine.
Yeah, I wonder why he wouldn't want another bridge.
Wow. You don't want competition. You don't say. But some suggestions were made in this particular article in the Detroit News saying, you know what? You know, right now it's 8% of those who voted in the last gubernatorial election. What they suggest is raise the number of signatures required for some of these to 20%. And for constitutional amendments, 25% from the existing 10. He says that way you only get things on the ballot that truly have widespread support. And the other thing that they said, ban signature gathering companies from taking part in the process. Because that's one thing that these outfits do. They'll go get someone that gathers signatures on these. That's their job. That's what they do. They farm this out. People go out and say whatever they can to get the signatures they need to be able to fulfill the request. Basically make it so that, okay, if you want to go gather signatures, you got to do it yourself. You got to have the people that are going to embrace the issue enough to get out there and collect the signatures on their own. I think some of these are good ideas. And here's the thing. You talk about, all right, well, how in the world are people going to be able to get what they want passed? We've got this thing called the legislature. You know, they've got the state house, the state senate. Elect people to it that agree with the ideas that you have. And if your representative doesn't represent your ideas, vote for someone who does. And if they don't get elected, find ways to support a candidate the next time around that does. That's how you get some of your ideas across. Because it's representative government. That's what it's all about. Now, with these, it's certainly a good idea. I think, you know, it's that whole direct will of the people kind of thing. But if you think about it, 8% of people that voted in an election is not a ton. Now, it's still a pretty high mark. But if you put a really high mark and say, you know what, you as a group got to go out and do it, then you've got to have people that are absolutely sold on the idea that this is what we want. This is the thing that we want to do. That takes a lot. That would be a lot more hoops to jump through, but then I think you would eliminate certain things. And I think, you know, we've talked about the minimum wage thing, and we're going to have to deal with it again because you know these people are going to come back around in 2016 and want to do it all over again. They don't want to admit defeat at this point, so we're going to see this thing again. I think this whole idea of, all right, it's got to be 10-10, must be 10-10, that's the only thing it can be and nothing else. I think what we need to be able to do is have, if you've got an interest in this thing, start talking to legislators all over the state. Talk to them regardless of party. Talk to them if they're Democrats. Talk to them if they're Republicans. Talk to them if they're an independent. Talk to them, whatever. Get your ideas before them. Because I'll tell you this. I know elected officials. I've had elected officials in this studio, and I've had them on the phones talking to them. Here's one thing they respond to. Voters. Voters that say they want things. I want you to vote this way on this particular issue. I want you to vote that way. If they hear from enough of them, they're going to go, okay, well, you know what? There's some interest in this issue. We're going to look at this and find out what it is, because elected officials know this. Voters are the ones that are ultimately going to be in charge of getting them back into their job. So I think that's part of the way you do it, but I think these are some good ideas. Bump it up. And I don't know, 20% might be a little high.
Maybe go 15%?
But I think 15%, you do 15% and then 20% for a constitutional amendment. Those numbers might be, it would still give you that, all right, we are devoted to this issue. We are absolutely devoted. And then you've got to have the people that are devoted to it out there collecting the signatures instead of companies that don't have a skin in the game other than, well, they paid us, so here, yeah, sign this if you believe that people ought to be paid better. Well, of course people are going to sign that.
Yeah.
Yeah, start with me. You know, people are going to do that sort of thing. But if you have to actually define to people and say, all right, look, we believe the minimum wage needs to be higher. It needs to be this. Here's why it needs to be. Here are the benefits of it. Here's this is going to happen. This, 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 and this. Define it for people. And then have them, all right, I agree with you. I'll sign that. Or, you know what? No, I don't agree with you. I'm not going to sign that. That's where the petition thing needs to come in. And I think those are good suggestions on this, just to get past the idea of, you know, because you'll get into a situation where people will do this just to get what they want on the ballot in front of people. And like instead, that's why you have the legislature. That's why we end up with these elections every couple of years going, you know what? We're going to vote for somebody that believes in what we believe in. That's why we have these candidates on here, so that you can hear what they believe in. You can hear what they stand for. You can hear how they plan on working with their fellow elected representatives. That's why we ask some of those questions. That's why we ask questions about where do you stand on this and that, because you need to know. Because the things that you believe, the things that are in your heart that you believe we need to be doing are at stake. And I think you can go, and with these ballot things, there's been an awful lot of these where somebody's got skin in the game. And this Detroit News piece, they're talking about, you know, the guy that owns the Ambassador Bridge was trying to come out against another bridge. I wonder why.
I remember when that was going on. Yeah. There were so many negative ads about that. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, instead, we need to have it so, all right, we passionately believe in this issue. If somebody's against a bridge there for other reasons, so be it. You know, that's fine. But in this case, have people that are passionate about it. Show people why it works the way it does. Show people both sides of it, the drawbacks and the good things that you'll see from it. And that's what we need to do. Educate each other a little bit instead of, you know what, do you want to stand with workers? Well, who's going to say no?
Not too many.
Business owners would say, well, yeah, of course I do. Sure, yeah. We'll sign this. Why?
No, don't just sign it.
Shouldn't be that way. We need it to be a little bit tougher so that it makes it better overall, I think. Going to do it for the show today. You know what? Tomorrow we're going to get together and do it all over again, 3 o'clock. Hope you'll be able to join us. Always great to be with you. Until then, you have a good one.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.